Morning, everyone. Our reading today is from Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 37. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there was no needy person among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, bought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who was in need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and bought the money and put it at the apostles' feet.
Good morning. Thank you so much for that reading. Let's pray before I begin. Lord God, thank you so much that you are here with us. Thank you so much that we can open the doors once more and worship together. And I do pray this morning that my words would be your words, Lord, and we would all be receptive to and expectant of the ways in which you will meet and speak to us this morning. Amen. Thank you so much for such a warm welcome. My name is Abby, which is quite easy to remember here, I think. And until recently, I was the church intern at Greyfriars and New Hope. And what really stuck out to me when I joined this community last September was God's generosity demonstrated through his people. And I have been hugely blessed and impacted by the generosity of the church, whether that be people's hospitality who've opened their homes to me and let me live with them, or people giving their time to welcome me, or people who have been really sacrificial in helping support me through prayer and financially. And so it is a real joy to speak this morning about generous community, because I think, I've experienced it so much, so it's very exciting. The passage that we just had read sets out a culture of where generosity is witnessed in abundance, and we read of a community who love each other through their giving. And what we can get from this text, and what we see, is that we are united by Jesus Christ, from whom our giving flows. And if you remember anything, I would say try and remember that we are united by Jesus Christ, from whom our giving flows. And whilst this passage does refer to money and possessions, I want to encourage us from the start off that actually we all have so much to give, whether that be financial or not. We have gifts, we've got time, we've got skills and talents, and all these things can be used to love one another. And so first of all, let's explore why we are called to give, how we are called to give, and then what we are called to give. So starting off with why we are called to give. Most simply, we give because Christ first gave for us. And the motivation of our giving should be to bring glory to God. And so if we take a look at verse 33, I would really recommend if you can keep the Bible in front of you and refer back to the passage in Acts 4. So verse 33, with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. And likewise, our mission should be Christ-centered. And the previous verse, which is verse 32, says, no one claims that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. How amazing is that? And the root cause and the result of this is that they put God above everything else. They put God first. And they recognised his ownership. And so they had God first, and they put people, their community, second. And then their material possessions came below both of those things. And God's people, the amazing thing is that they were united and unified in this concept. And verse 32, I'm going to refer to it a lot. I hope that is okay. But it says, all believers were one in heart and mind. Some translations use the word soul, but the point is, to their deepest and their truest level, they were united. And it says in the Psalms, how good and pleasant is it when God's people live in unity. And the Bible speaks of when a man and woman come together in marriage, they become one flesh. But the claim here is that the whole church, all believers, were of one heart, of one soul. And I don't think, I don't know about you, but such union cannot come from human relationships. No matter how many icebreakers you play, I'm all one for icebreakers. I love them. But I don't think that is down to us. If personality, interests, politics, or any other kind of human element was the glue that held the church together, I don't think it would have ever found its feet. The only explanation for the unity that we see in Acts chapter 4 is one of Christ. And so what does it mean for us as the church today to be united by Jesus? It can sometimes seem that Christians can spend a lot of our time getting caught up over our differences, whether that be our theology or our politics or opinion on other matters. Facebook statuses and Twitter threads, they can become kind of like a feast for the enemy to cause a stir and to break relationships. But moreover, it projects quite a poor witness to the world. But let's look up. Acknowledge that we're all worshipping the same God, and it is in Jesus and by Jesus that we are united. I have a prayer partner who I was partnered with. So I went to Reading University and I got in touch with the Christian Union, and they partnered me with a prayer partner to kind of guide me through the first few weeks of freshers. Ironically, we're now coming up to our fifth year of being prayer partners, so we didn't just stop after freshers. And she's a Christian and she goes to a different church in Reading, and we have quite a lot of differences and fall on the complete opposite side of the fence when it comes to quite a lot of big like theological subjects or things like that. But actually, it is one of my most precious friendships and something I just hold onto so tightly because we see past those differences and we know that it is in Christ that we are united. And I imagine most of you might have heard of the UK Blessing. The video, yeah. The video in lockdown, I think it was like over 65 churches or something who came together and collaborated in worship. And so like Anglican, Orthodox, you've got the Vineyards, Catholics, like so many. And that is the reason that I love it. It's because it is an amazing demonstration of Christian unity. And also another kind of my last example of what unity can look like is, so I'm from Winchester and we have street pastors, the same for Reading. I don't know so much about the Reading one, but what I can say about the one in Winchester in time and time again is people say that it is amazing to see a team of people from loads of different churches around the city working together to love those on the street that night. And it's just an amazing, incredibly powerful example of Christian unity, and in this case, in a secular environment. And so back to Acts chapter 4, the one thing that they had in common with each other and with us here today, with everyone at home, and honestly with every Christian in the world, is that they were united by the most generous giver of all time, Jesus Christ. Jesus, who gave his life so that we could live. Jesus, who demonstrated sacrificial giving to the point of death to bless us abundantly. He demonstrated absolute, open-handed, generous giving. And he was the most generous giver of all time. And we are called to be like Jesus. We are united by Jesus Christ, from whom our giving flows. And because we are united, we are called to love one another through generosity. Could have probably guessed that from the title. So how should we give? I'm going to suggest there are three ways in which we should go about giving. The first is freely, and the believers gave freely of their own desire. Back to verse 32, it reads, "No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had." And again, following the example that Jesus set, who gave freely of himself. I think the song lyric by Hillsong, the song is called Lifted on High, captures this idea really well. It says, "Freely you gave it all for us, surrendered your life upon the cross, great is your love." And it's the idea that out of his love, Jesus freely chose to give sacrificially. And so the first way is freely. The second way I would suggest and which we should go about giving is generously. So verse 32, they shared everything. And as a result of such radical giving, there was no needy person among them. And money, possessions, time, our talents, they're all tools which can be used to see God's rule and reign. And they can have eternal consequences. So by using what we have to bless one another, we can testify Jesus' name and bring others to Christ. And I don't know about you, but I think that's really cool. And so the first way is freely, the second way is generously, and the final way I would suggest in which we should go about giving is expectantly that God will use our offering. The story of the feeding of the 5,000, recorded in all of the Gospels demonstrates not only a boy's generosity in giving up his fish and his bread, but also God's miraculous power to multiply that gift. And we are called to be a generous community, to be inspired by the early church and their heart for giving. Let us give freely, generously, and expectantly that God will use our offerings. We are united by Jesus Christ, from whom our giving flows. So, what should we give? We might want to take a moment to just consider what holds us back from giving, and that might look different for each individual. For me, I might have thought sometimes I don't have anything to give. For others, you might be thinking, I'll give when I have more, I've already given this month, I don't need to do it again. Or you might want to save it for yourself. Or you might think, oh, it's not enough to make a difference. But as I mentioned earlier, I want to encourage us that whilst this passage, yes, it does talk about possessions and money, we have so much more, and everyone has something to give, whether that be financial or not. We have time, we have gifts, we've got skills, we've got education, and all these things can be used if we give them generously to love each other and our community in and around Reading. So how can we use what we have generously to bless the community? If you've got time, for example, who could you bless? You might want to join a team at church to serve, or phone a friend to provide a listening ear and emotional support. Or you might choose to give your time to charity, whether that be a regular slot in your week at a charity shop, or if that's just a one ad hoc day that you choose to give to the food bank. Time is such a valuable resource, and we can use it to bless others when we are generous with our time. If you are skilled in a particular area, you can give your services and offer practical help, and that might look like, if you're skilled in a particular DIY or kind of fixing and repairing things, that might look like that for one person. And or you might be a superb cook, and generosity for you might look like cooking a meal and taking it to someone and providing that for them if you know that they're particularly overburdened at the moment. If you even only had 15 minutes, it might seem insignificant, but God can still use it if we offer it. 15 minutes is enough time to phone a friend or to write a card to someone, to deliver it depending on where the postbox is, and to send flowers via somewhere like Bloom and Wild or just pop to Sainsbury's. But it's enough time to make a colleague a cup of tea. And whilst these things might seem small, the consequences and the impact of our generosity we might never fully know. But we are united by Jesus Christ, from whom our giving flows. Let's pray. Lord God, may we be inspired by the early church. May we be inspired by Jesus, who gave his life so that we could live, Lord. May we be inspired by, yeah, just that witness that he gave. And may we know that we are united by you, Lord. And may out of that unity, love pour. And may our love for one another and for the world around us just be so abundant. And may, yeah, you just stir our hearts so that we may give to one another and love one another in that way. I pray that each and every one of us will go away today thinking about what that might look like for us. And yeah, I just pray that we would be called to, yeah, just love each other and to give whatever it is that we have to do so. Amen. Thank you so much, Tony. Let's worship.